Senior Focus. Kia ora, this is Alex Bonham, and today we're going to think about play with a senior focus. What play are the kids today into? What play opportunities are there over the summer? How do you plan for and enjoy a fun day with the kids? And what sort of play is out there actually aimed at seniors? We have two guests, Toby Faulkner, director of the Open Fort, and Richard Wright, who works at AUT as an associate professor in the Centre for Active Ageing. Toby, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. You're a games designer and director of the Open Fort, which runs games and play events with everybody from young children to seniors. Can you tell me how has the way kids play changed in the last 100 years?
Yeah, well, 100 years, it's a long time. But I suppose the most obvious thing is these days there's a lot of digital play. There's a lot of kids behind screens, inside, playing inside. And a lot more sort of urbanisation, so a lot more kids and families living in cities, so less, you know, sort of out in nature play. Some of the big changes that we're facing today.
Do kids still like getting outside?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think a lot of the work that we do, you know, is getting kids away from screens and getting parents playing with their kids more. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of a push, a little bit of a pull, you know, a bit of a nudge to sort of show, you know, what it's like to get outside and get dirty and, you know, run around a bit more. But once they get into it, yeah, you know, kids are well up for getting away from screens.
So what role can grandparents play with their grandchildren?
Yeah, well, I think they're really good way, you know, sort of way to showcase how, you know, how families and how kids used to play, you know, back in the day before, you know, before the internet and before so many devices, and just kind of, yeah, repeating, you know, or showcasing the old, you know, schoolyard games and, you know, the old ways of playing that you don't need, you know, you don't need devices, you don't need much to play, just get outside and, yeah, all the simple things that we kind of take for granted these days.
I have really fond memories of my grandfather playing cribbage with me and my sister, and it was just a background for all sorts of banter, really. And yeah. I just loved it. And he probably loved it far more than he thought that I did or that I would retain it as such a fond memory. It might have not meant that much to him at the time, but it really did. And croquet as well. He was the most vicious croquet player. And we would play with him and balls would disappear, you know, down driveways, never to be seen again. But somehow, as long as you were on his team, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
What are your memories of playing with your grandparents?
Yeah. I have vivid memories of playing Chinese checkers, for sure. And also, yeah, with my grandparents, and I used to play cribbage with my father too, and chess. It's also kind of board games, inside games. But I do remember they wouldn't play easy. You know, they wouldn't let us win. They'd be in it. Probably similar with a croquet, you know, they weren't afraid of, you know, us losing or, you know, us getting upset, you know, if we lost, you know, games, but also just getting out into the countryside and getting out to the beach and, you know, picking, you know, or gathering puppies and, going out in bare feet and getting out to the grass and getting out to the river and just playing in nature. A lot more playing in nature, you know, with grandparents, I'd say.
My father-in-law is very, very handy, and so he's taught Charlie how to make a go-kart.
Nice.
And they made that together, which is brilliant because my husband and I are much less handy. So it's helpful having a former engineer in the family. So, but what sort of play activities are there at an Open Fort community event?
Yeah, so we aim to provide a range of play activities for all different ages and different styles. We don't just go, hey, this is the way you play and you're going to stick to it. So we have just sort of sit down sort of play activities, we've got a whole lot of like wooden toys and wooden sort of food and kitchen things and little plastic bugs and things. So kids can just sit at the tables, make little bug stews and bug sandwiches and, you know, relax and use their imagination and And so we have a very, very nice, relaxing type of play. Through to, we have a whole lot of play, sort of props. And we've got rubber chickens and giant rolling dice and hula hoops and ropes and all sorts of things that we make up games on the spot, depending on the kids and the parents that are there. So we always try and get the parents playing with the kids or playing. We try and get the parents playing games that the parents actually enjoy playing. So they're not just playing, they're just to entertain the kids. You know, they're having a good time as well. But then through to facilitated games, where we've got, so large-scale games where our play facilitators will, take the families through a big game experience. So they're the games that have more rules and maybe a bit more competitive. But again, games where the parents have a role, the kids have the role, the grandparents have a role in the games. And they will get into it as much, or sometimes more than the kids themselves. So we try and create environments where everyone's playing. So it's not just parents coming along and dropping the kids off for a bit of a babysitting exercise. The parents are right in the thick of it as well.
So how do you get the grown ups engaged with it at the start?
Well, I think sometimes. So usually we'll start with the kids, we'll get them going, we'll kind of sort of get a good feel for what types of activities, what types of play the kids are into and what they're attracted to. And then we'll slowly say, we're going to run the Big B game now. All right, parents, you get to play as well. And they'll often go, come along and, play just to help out. But after 5 minutes, they sort of start realizing that, there's a bit more to this. And then they'll get into it. So, really putting things out there, having a range of different activities, seeing where the kids gravitate to. And then when we kind of still feel ready, we'll get the parents involved now, we can sort of pick and choose one of our many activities to, draw them in.
What makes a good game that older people can play with kids?
Parents, I think there's a mix. There's definitely parents who like to get competitive and like to think a bit. So a bunch of the games, intergenerational games that we have, the sort of the adult roles will be a bit more strategic, whereas the kids' roles will be a bit more running around and sort of getting things, tiring out the kids physically. But then providing a bit of a mental challenge for the adults, so it's more satisfying than just sort of throwing a ball around. That's one of our approaches. But also on the other hand, sometimes as a parent you're a little bit tired, so having some games again where the games might not be as physically demanding, but keeping them kind of creative, so the parents might not necessarily be running around. But they're using their brains and their imagination and they're kind of getting into the sort of the imagination zone that the kids get into really easily.
Do you find that grandparents come to your events with the grandkids, or is it more of a parent and kids thing?
No, it's a bit of a mix. Probably more parents, but we definitely have grandparents along as well, which is really great. And when they do, they really love it and appreciate it and kind of, could quite quickly harken back to a bit more of the, sort of nature play and imagination sort of play. And it's kind of sort of simple, simpler play that we used to have before everyone's behind the screens. So grandparents, I think, really appreciate the style and the environment that we put together.
Screens are just so addictive, aren't they? And I think for adults as well, I think grown-ups are the worst. I just wonder whether grown-ups play less than they used to. I mean, I guess you have to then ask, how do you define play with adults? But, there was this amazing research done in the British pub, I think, in the 1940s, and there were so many different types of play in there with... skittles and darts and quizzes and dancing and live music and banter and further and you get some cockfights and all the rest of it as well. I just wonder whether we need some old-fashioned English pubs back with games.
Oh, sure. For sure. Yeah, having those environments. And I think, but ultimately, I think it's all about balance as well, you know. I grew up with an old Commodore 64, but I lived down a little gravel road in the countryside. So I could easily spend the whole day just behind the computer, you know, sort of beavering away. But then the next day I'd be out, you know, running down the road and down to the river and, you know, outside. So having, you know, having that balance, I don't think we need to, you know, we don't need to trash and get rid of all, you know, all devices. But having a good, healthy balance is really key. But definitely having more play spaces, and, you know, the spaces like Dyson Fork, you know, having, you know, that open, you know, for board games to families. We often have families through and come to events, and they're going, oh, and then, hey, you know, what are you doing for the rest of the day? And they're off to Dyson Fork or off to one of the other board game cafes or, yeah, other sort of very family friendly spaces where yeah, everyone's welcome to, yeah, play a variety of games.
Yes, that is true. And I remember being a total geek child and being told to get my nose out of a book and run around outside. So, you know, there was a time when, you know, books were the original screens. Get off that book. So do you have some top recommendations for play activities that grandparents can do with their kids? We've talked a bit about board games and getting into nature and making things.
I think really, really getting kids to use their imagination, and really, I think if you're a parent or grandparents, just you kind of what I do, you know, with my nieces and nephews, is just kind of try and get into the zone of you're there to be present and you know when play. So really, there's a bit of a balance between really giving in to whatever the kids want to do, but also and kind of developing and helping them get into the zone where you're both enjoying yourselves. I think it's quite easy for the adults to kind of give in to the kids and do whatever they want to do, and it kind of doesn't, sometimes it's not as fun for you. So finding the parts of the play that you as an adult really enjoy, and kind of sort of fostering those aspects of the play, and then making them fun for the kids. So it's almost a natural, it's a bit of getting a healthy back and forth going on. So it's not all kids led, but it's not all adult led. Yeah, finding that balance, which can be a bit tricky, but really you have to be kind of kind to yourself. You don't want to be there just for the kids and helping them play without enjoying yourself as well. You have to be enjoying yourself as well. So,
well, that's
hopefully that helps.
Very good advice. How could people find you this summer, and how can people find activities that are on? I know there's the Out and About website, and there's the Art Auckland website. Is there anything else that you can think of?
For just play in general? Or?
Yeah, just to inspire.
Yeah. Well, of course, lots of stuff is online. So, yeah, the Owl Auckland and Auckland for Kids. We always advertise our events on Facebook. So Facebook events, you know, there's heaps of stuff on there. Trying to track things down. But then also, yeah, the places like, yeah, Dyson Fork and other board game cafes, they've got regular events. And there's usually you know, mailing lists and things you can go on. So yeah, bit of digital delving to see what's out there, and yeah, I think there's, you know, there's various kind of newsletters and most of the play providers. So we're only one of many play providers across Tamaki Makaurau. Sort of have websites and Facebook pages, and we're all pretty good at, you know, listing all our events and things there, and also, yeah, helping and promoting each other as well. So once you start following, you know, so one of us, you'll quickly find lots of other things to do as well from other play providers.
I think that's true. And Bunnings and all sorts of other places, Event Finder is a, you know, another good place just to get started. And once you found some people, then you found the others. Thank you so much, Toby. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. And I look forward to finding the Open Fort, doing some events this summer. And so I'll look for you on Facebook and the Out and About website.
No, thanks, Dr. Alex. And looking forward to a nice, busy summer.
Thanks. Bye.
Cool. Cheers. Bye.
Hello, Richard. Richard Wright, you are an associate professor at the AUT Centre for Active Ageing.
Correct.
Welcome. Can you tell me more about the centre and what it does?
Yeah, so the centre was established by actually an occupational therapist and a professor of nursing. So Valerie Wright Sinclair and Stephen Neville came together about 10 years ago now to... It emerged out of, we have a research institute which is about person-centered research, and we were seeing more and more research looking at the aging population and the study of aging, so gerontology, to the point where the projects were enough for the center to be established as a standalone center. I've been in it since its kind of inception on the steering committee, and then recently became a co-director alongside a colleague, again from the nursing school, Dr. Kay Shannon. And we really focus on age-friendly environments and working with older adults to help them live well, to make sure they're there as they age, so that life is good for them.
It all sounds very medical, but we met during Play Week after an Auckland Conversations talk on how to make Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, a playful city. And the focus was on children. But it was acknowledged then that people engage in playful activities throughout their whole lives. And we had this great conversation about play and seniors. How important is play for seniors? And is there a better word than play that I should be using?
I love the word play, but play does have that connotation of playgrounds, of playtime, and we think of play as being something exclusively that we do when we're young. But we never stop playing, and play is essentially linked to leisure time. And when we are not being productive, say working or being educated, and when we're not sleeping. So if we look at a 24-hour clock and go, we're supposed to sleep for 8 hours a day, and that's what all the medical professions would say, you know, get 8 hours of sleep a day and you'll be healthy. That leaves 8 hours a day of productivity, of going to, of learning, of working, of being coerced, of earning money, which leaves another 8 hours a day for playtime, for what we'd call leisure. And again, I'm a leisure sociologist, so my career has been studying people and what they do during those 8 hours a day of when they're not at work and they're not at sleep. And, you know, that really doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old. It's what are you doing in that time of day for fun, for relaxation, for yourself in many cases. And who are you doing it with? So really when I see play, I don't break it down to the age. I break it down to the person and what are we doing for our, you know, active lifestyle, our active living.
And it is important to have fun, I think.
Of course.
For all of us. So what does play look like as people get older? How does it evolve?
I think it actually, rather than evolution, I think it revolves. What we see is as people age, they go back to what they enjoyed doing in the past. So, you know, we have this stage in our life where being productive is probably more important, whether that's raising a family, earning money in the bank so we've got money to retire on. And when we all of a sudden discover we've got this more time, what we tend to see is people initially go back to what they did in their past. So the games, the things they knew, the things they enjoyed when they were younger are the starting point for many to get back into play. So again, we also find older adults, much like children, become less self-conscious, less constrained by society that they've got to conform. They get to a certain degree where they're like, you know, I've done that. You know, it's time to have fun. One of my colleagues talks about retirement, and she talks about where you have the kind of go-go years, where it's all go, you've retired. Then you have the kind of slow-go years where you have to slow down. Your body's telling you to slow down a little bit, but the green light's still there. And then you finally end up with the kind of no-go years where it's, okay, I've got to slow down a bit now. But what we see is, again, you know, you'll hear the people saying, you know, 50 is the new 40, 60 is the new 50. You know, we're all aging from cradle to grave, and what we are finding is people are aging differently. And when you get a bit older, you've got a bit more time to reflect and to actually look at what brings you joy, what brings you happiness. And, you know, play is fundamental in that.
Tell me about one of your programs. I think it's about memories.
Yep. So we've lots of research shows that an active lifestyle, it can affect life living longer. So happiness, life satisfaction, research will show gives you a sense of purpose, which is linked to living longer. Studies will show that if you're happier, you're less likely to, you find things that are meaningful, you're more likely to be physically active, mentally active. And then there's this body of research that kind of suggests that certain activities stimulate what we call nostalgia, reminiscence, and that can have a positive effect on memory. So it's a simple adage of use it or lose it. So what we were looking at is sort of realms within reminiscence therapy and cognitive stimulation therapy. But in essence, in layman's terms, it's about talking and sharing memories, sharing stories. And we did a project which looked at veteran health and well-being and found that when they have their reunions, they're the happiest they are. They love sharing stories with people they served with in the forces. And that led on to looking at people that, okay, didn't serve in the forces, but, you know, have been engaged with sport. And we saw a lot of overlap between people that have been involved in the world of sport and institutionalized in sport to those people that have been in certain professions, and came across this UK-based initiative called Sporting Memories, which is basically grouping together older adults aged 50 and above to come together, have a weekly catch-up, basically. A tea, reminisce about the good old days, the glory days. It might be when they were playing sport. It might be when they were watching sport. It may just be how much they hate sport. But whatever it is, sport would be what is the driving point. And a typical fixture is no more than a couple of hours a week. And it's just coming together with a group of similar vintage people. We don't like the word old, and we don't like the word age. We talk about getting older and aging because that's something universal. You know, breaks down the generations. And then we talk about, people that you can share memories with. And we actually had a session yesterday for Melbourne Cup, and sure enough, one of the ladies in the session used to train horses and took a horse to Flemington for the Melbourne Cup, 20-something years ago. And it was just like, wow. And so she was sharing this story about what she could remember about, growing up with horses, training horses down in Avondale. So this is an Aucklander. And her memories of going to the Melbourne Cup. And, she's currently sitting in a retirement village, and you would not know that that was her background. So the research shows, similar to music or dance, that reminiscence, getting lost in a bit of nostalgia, is really good for older adults, especially those, and we're looking at those, thinking dementia is going to be a major issue going forward as with our aging population. So how can we help in that area?
So is the program running in Auckland?
We're in a lot of pilots at the moment. So no, there's no specific clubs. We've been working on this sort of behind the scenes busily now for a couple of years to make sure that when we're ready to kind of go, it's got all the backing, all the support that it needs. So, we're currently talking with different partners and identifying locations, because locations, we need champions, basically. So local champions who go, well, that's cool, I don't mind giving up some of my time to help, facilitate one of these fixtures. And it is volunteer run. And again, that's deliberate. That's linked into giving older adults some agency, something to put their mind to. And setting up a sporting memories club is actually half the engagement activity. And they will use their knowledge, their experience from when they were younger, to make sure that their club is sustainable.
Oh, that's very cool. Can you give me some examples of cities? I'm slightly pivoting here into other activities. Can you give me some examples of shared environments and other programs that make life more enjoyable for our older populations?
Yeah, well, if we look at the World Health Organization identified the principles of age-friendly environments, so setting up age-friendly environments. And one of them is this essence of intergenerational play and being places where families can play together. So not breaking up and going, okay, this will be good for the elderly population of our city, this will be good for the children, but actually these age-friendly environments that anyone can go and just engage with. Scandinavia, like Helsinki, is probably one of the world-leading cities in terms of its program for seniors. But again, they use the term elderly, which is a social construct again, which means different things in different populations and for different cultures. Manchester in the UK is one of the first cities to sign up to being an age-friendly city. And we've been pushing, certainly in Auckland and Hamilton, actually down the road from us, is kind of one of the ones leading the way in New Zealand in terms of this intergenerational, age-friendly environments, and working out things like, you know, if a footpath is good for a cycling on it, who's going to be cycling on it? And, you know, is the footpath also, if people are riding their bikes up and down it, is that going to scare people away from the footpath for those people that move a bit slower? So moving bikes off the footpath into designated cycle lanes opens up your footpath for people to walk through. And again, we think about people with prams because we naturally think about, oh, people with young mothers pushing their prams. But, you know, the people in their mobility scooters and the people with walking sticks and the people who are going on there, you know, making sure it's right for them. So access is key. Access to parks. Older adults need toilets around, but then so do mothers looking after babies. So really keen on making sure we build environments that aren't just built for one generation, they're built for inclusive across multi-generations.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. So what advice would you give to our listeners who might want to get out there but don't know where to start in finding some of these programs that are aimed, I guess maybe not aimed at older people, but that where they would feel really welcome and have a good time?
The libraries, like Auckland and New Zealand in general, we're so fortunate with our library network. But again, I don't think unless you've lived in other countries and other cities and seen other things, you can sometimes take your library for granted or think, again, the only time we go to the library is, well, it's for the children to get books out. But, you know, librarians and libraries are fountains of knowledge. And a lot of people, they still have the poster boards, you know. So if you want to go see what's going on in the community, certainly for older adults, they're still in that thing of putting a poster up, putting a poster on a notice board. Yeah, you know, we've got digital seniors and we've got this digital senior expo happening this weekend, actually, at Event Finder Stadium. And, you know, plenty of seniors are digitally, you know,
onto it,
whatever the right word is, capable.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the old-fashioned leaflet and the old-fashioned notice on a notice board at your Citizens Advice Bureau, your library, you can't beat that. We're trying to, you know, make more centres, the council-owned facilities, the leisure centres. You know, and again, pitching what could be done is making sure your pictures on in your leisure centres aren't just of young, fit teenagers or people that we're not, you know, that some generation will aspire to be. But we know from research in Melbourne that puts an older adult off, much like it puts a teenager off. You know, this notion of what stops an older adult engaging is very similar to what stops a teenager engaging, what stops a person in their 30s engaging is they're worried they'll embarrass themselves. They're worried that they won't understand how to use it. They're worried that they'll be alone. You know, and these are the same fears, the same cycle, you know, that any age, any human goes through. But if you go, okay, you're not going to be alone. It's going to be a safe, friendly environment. You're going to have fun. We're going to play games. You're going to enjoy yourself. Then that is enough to get people through the door. And that doesn't matter, as I said, if you are a 16-year-old or a 60-year-old.
Older or younger. Richard, thank you so much. I'm running out of time. I could talk to you much longer, but really appreciate this call at all. So thank you so much for coming in.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Get Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.